Now we are joined by our very own Nate Taylor of The Athletic, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on there, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
That's right. It sounds like he's coming straight out of a Tony Hawk video game from 1999 on PlayStation 1. Hey, Don. I think we all had that. Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Nate, I want to start this off because the NFL is weird. Obviously, you know that. And I was in the press box with one Steven Cerda at the time that this happened. I want to know where you were when Mahomes played the 49ers for the first time and made that play to Chris Conley in the corner of the end zone. And everyone in the press box stood up and went, oh, no. And like they knew the arrival was there. I want to know where Nate Taylor was when Mahomes made that throw.
What a great memory. Yeah, thanks for having me on, as always, fellas. I was in the press box. I was in the second level. A quick backstory. I had decided before the game, and you can look this up on The Athletic, even though it's been, you know, I guess 6 years ago. I actually went out to the parking lot. I went through tailgate after tailgate after tailgate, and I interviewed people who wore a Patrick Mahomes jersey to that particular game because some people might forget that was the first home game of his career.
That's right?
Right.
Yep.
In 2017, he plays the season finale in Denver. He starts the season in 2018 in California against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And then I like to remind people in week two against the Steelers, and the Steelers were still the Steelers back then.
They were, yeah.
He threw 6 touchdowns, 5 incompletions. So,
I didn't realize that.
Yes. So he had more touchdowns than incompletions. So I interviewed, again, like 5 to 8 fans who were all in Patrick Mahomes jerseys, even though they had never seen him play in person at the NFL level. And then, of course, as I'm transcribing those interviews, as I'm putting that story together about, essentially the football messiah arriving to the promised land of Arrowhead Stadium, he does that freaking play.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I just laughed. I literally laughed in the press box. Now, for the audience, you're not supposed to cheer. You're not supposed to really be loud. You're not supposed to shout or laugh, for that matter. Sorry, kids. I broke all 4 of those rules.
I think everybody did, though, that day, Nate, because I was up in the press box that day, too. And I remember, like I haven't been up there since COVID, right? And so, but I just remember being at those games where Patrick Mahomes was doing the Patrick Mahomes stuff early. Everybody was reacting. Everybody was going crazy, in those games, especially the comeback against Houston when he was doing what he was doing. Like, it's okay to have natural human reactions when you see stuff you've never seen before.
Right. And again, my memory always goes back to 4th and 9, right? Where it's later in the season. The MVP race is essentially a 2-man race at that point between Patrick and Drew Brees at the time. And it was like, hey, man, the Baltimore Ravens put up a pretty good game plan and it's 4th and 9. And like, do you want the 1 seed? And then, of course, he scrambles to his right and throws across his body, does everything you're not supposed to do, and hits Tyreek Hill in the middle of the field. And so, that season, even though it didn't end the way, the Chiefs wanted, the way their fans, hoped it would, there are so many memories from that season that I will never forget. But really, the one of the first ones was that, scramble. What is he doing? Oh my God, he's throwing the ball. And you could tell when he was like loading up that he was not throwing the ball out of the back of the end zone, right? Or like, hey, we're just going to settle for a field goal here. From the press box, it is basically live version of all 22. So you could kind of see Chris Connolly, but you're like, there's no way he's splitting two defenders. Oh my God, he split two defenders.
Yeah, the ball. Right. Yeah. It was so unbelievably awesome to watch that. And now here we sit, and he's still doing it with, his top 2 wide receivers hurt. People saying Kelsey's washed, his number 1 running back is down. and he still does it. I mean, I think what he's doing today may be more remarkable than what he's done in the past,
Yeah, you might read something about that here in the next week or two in The Athletic. Just the idea that, hey, it's not 2018 anymore. It's not 2019. It was one point in time where, hey, man, we were there, you know, I wasn't there physically, like it was mostly my father, but like, you know, my father showed me, you know, Star Wars, A New Hope. And it's just like, man, those X-Wings are awesome. And that is essentially what Patrick Mahomes was in 2018, 2019. You are Luke Skywalker in an X-Wing, and dude, no one's been a better pilot than you this early in your career. And basically, he's now piloting a Millennium Falcon. Still good, can still get the job done, but it's not sleek, it's not fast, it's not like, you know, it's got a lot of maintenance issues because of the skill position injuries. The offensive line isn't as great as it was back in the day. Hey, man, you know, it's hilarious. We had to ask Andy Reid as a collective group of reporters yesterday, is Wanya Morris the starter? Guys, it's week 7. What are we doing? Like, you know, so right. for all the things that has changed surrounding Patrick and the fact that he's not operating something that is at full power, he is still, despite having 6 interceptions, 6 touchdowns, found a way to keep his team undefeated. And there is a credit to that from a mental acuity standpoint and just the fact that he's always had a moxie for rising to the occasion when a game is sort of in the balance.
Nate, we look at this game, and you, Bob, kind of alluded to it, where it's, you know, it's not the same Chiefs team from 18 and 19 with the offensive explosion. I did some numbers over the evening. San Francisco, 3rd in points scored, 2nd in passing yards in the league, 3rd in rushing yards. When you look at Kansas City's defense, they're 5th in rushing yards allowed, 7th in total yards allowed, 6th in points. Something has to give in this game. Maybe goes underviewed or not liked as much, but that front four for the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line could be a big problem against San Francisco in this game, missing their top 2 running backs.
Yes. It's a great point. And, you know, I'm not sure if Mike Dana is going to play in this game just because he's dealing with a pectoral injury.
Yeah, that's tough. Those are hard to come back from.
Yes. He was already dealing with the calf before then. So now you're going to be looking at a little bit more of Felix and Adike Uzama. Of course, I think the Chiefs are going to use Leo Chenal in that sort of, hey, hybrid role of you could be a defensive lineman and just try to, you know, blow up a tackle or a guard to help, you know, Nick Bolton have an easier path towards the running back if that happens. And, of course, you know, it would be helpful if the Chiefs, you know, got up by, like, a couple scores so that more of the pressure is on Brock Purdy to drop back in a traditional manner that's not built on bootlegs, play action, and obviously having the threat of the run set up the pass sort of over the top of the defense. So I think this is going to be a really fun game. I'm interested to see what Chris Jones does, fellas, because against the 49ers, he's had a lot of success rushing from the edge, more so than even the interior at times. And so if you don't have Mike Dana, maybe the solution is, hey, Tershawn Wharton's playing well. Mike Pinnell's playing really well as a run stuffer. Maybe you can allow those guys to work from the interior, and you can allow Chris to kind of be on the edge so that he has maybe more one-on-one matchups against, you know, a right tackle or a tight end. But I get the sense that this is sustainable for the Chiefs defense. The fact that they have stopped some of the top running backs so far this season, whether that's Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, or Bijan Robinson. If we don't see Christian McCaffrey, which is probably going to be the case, then yeah, make the game be about Brock Purdy beating you versus, you know, him having the ability to use play action to his sort of weapon that Kyle Shanahan is so good at, you know, sort of manipulating the defense.
Nate Taylor, let's talk a little gossip because that's what we like to do. What do you think the Chiefs are going to do if they do anything for the wide receiver position? I know a lot of fans got a little antsy this week when some named players got traded. I liken it to going into a bar at 3 a.m. The Jets and the Bills are desperate. They'll take anything that's available, and the Chiefs are kind of just waiting for the right one, right?
Yeah, sure. Or the Chiefs are like, we can come back to the bar next weekend because, you know, we're 5-0. We're living okay. We're living just fine. Now, I do think the Bills were instructed just because they don't have a Travis Kelce on their roster. They don't have even really a Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of reliability for Josh Allen. Josh Allen had to be, again, a superhero on Monday night against the New York Jets. So it's understandable why they would be the first team to sort of jump out there. And then it really wasn't a secret that Davante Adams was going to the Jets. Once it became clear that the Saints weren't as interested in terms of whatever the trade compensation was going to be for Davante Adams. So, yeah, those two teams jump out. Now you have a baseline of what to expect from, hey, if we make a trade, is it going to be a third-round pick? Is it going to be a fourth-round pick? Obviously, you're not going to go towards a second or a first-rounder. So the Chiefs can come back after this game against the 49ers and say, okay, we have another sort of sample size to assess our own receiving group. What receiver can help us sort of complement Travis Kelce and Juju Smith-Schuster? Is that a Deontay Johnson? Is that a Darius Slater? Those are some of the players that you could think about. If I have to say right now, I do think the Chiefs will make a trade for a receiver because obviously they've done it with, you know, Kadarius Toney, with Mecole Hardman, and they're trying to go for a three-peat. And if you don't think Rashee Rice is coming back for the regular season, and if you're not sure you're going to get Hollywood Brown before the playoffs, you need half of the season to get somebody else who's a veteran, who's capable through the offense so that you can be as potent as possible when obviously the competition gets much better for the postseason run. So as of right now, you kind of understand that the Chiefs have two third-round picks. You can use one of them. Obviously, whoever they're trading with is going to want the higher of the third-round pick, which likely is the Tennessee Titans, the one you got from the LeJarius Sneed trade. But I would tell Chiefs fans, hey, you have 2 weeks to go back to the bar, identify the wide receiver you want, and then you have the ultimate chip, which is, hey, we will give you a third-round pick, or we can do a pick swap if you want for the services of that particular receiver.
Who is that guy going to be?
That's where it gets fascinating because I know Tutu Atwell could be available, right? I know some people are saying, well, how about DeMarcus Robinson? You know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling just entered the bar, and he wasn't even, like, available, you know, but he's available now. You know, you don't have to trade for him, of course. I think if I had to make a pick right now, it's probably Darius Slayton. Darius Slayton wants a new team. Obviously, the Giants and the Chiefs have traded before with Kadarius Toney. Darius Slayton is not Kadarius Toney in terms of talent or personality, but he is solid. He is reliable, and you would think his production will improve going from Daniel Jones to Patrick Mahomes. I just think in terms of an X receiver, someone who's big but can obviously get yards after the catch, not the best speedster, but something that you don't have to give up a ton of draft capital for. I think if you could give a fourth rounder to the Giants right now for Darius Slayton, they'd probably say sure. So I think there's a higher possibility that Darius Slayton is the target. And I think Carolina, despite them being Carolina, kind of wants to hold on as much as possible because they're in a terrible situation with Bryce Young. And they need to show some commitment to their fans. So you're going to have to maybe overpay for Deontay Johnson because he has another year left on his contract as well.
Nate Taylor, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the game this Sunday. It is in San Fran. I'm assuming that you will be there.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You know it.
Well, have a good, safe flight, and thanks for joining us here today on our show that we call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
Thank you, as always, fellas. Hey, by the way, Tony Hawk video game, classic. Love it.
Great soundtrack.
God, I want to play it right now.
Great soundtrack.
Do it. Nothing's stopping you.
Well. All right, fellas.
Take care.